Holy God, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. By your word, we gain wisdom and direction as we are led by your Holy Spirit. Be with us now and instruct us according to your truth. Fill us with the full measure of your love. This we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. The first reading is Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 14, 1384 in the Pew Bibles. And this is Daniel interpreting a dream. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times, 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beast had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, come with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The New Testament reading is John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38, 1683 in the Pew Bible. Pilate then went inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. "This is the word of the Lord."
Well, it is nice to have that big season behind us now. I don't mean Thanksgiving, I mean election season, which in Florida can run surprisingly close to Thanksgiving. I believe election season is the longest season of the year, except perhaps in Florida when it seems like summer literally will never end. Throughout election season, voters are bombarded in increasing volumes with ads and literature proclaiming the virtue of their candidate and or the villainy of their opponent. And every year they say pretty much the same thing about each other. You can simply substitute the name of the current candidates for the former, and they did work out just fine. A midterm election means that the key issue is not simply registering voters, but also making sure they actually vote. Get out the vote efforts, or GoTV, is the top strategy in any election, but particularly for midterms, when people are more likely to skip voting and instead sit glued to their screen and watch political ads until their eyeballs fall out. In Florida, where the governor's race has been determined by tiny margins the last three elections, and many races are real nail-biters, every vote counts. You know, all eyes were fixed on the big statewide races and how close they were. Yet there was a state representative race that was decided in Palm Beach County by hand recount, eventually, that gave the victory to the Republican by less than 40 votes. So yeah, every vote does count. And whatever time is needed to ensure every vote is counted is worth the time, the effort, and the aggravation. We did learn that some counties do counting better than others. But supervisors of election and their staff went to extraordinary lengths to make sure that every legitimate vote possible was counted before producing their results. I mean, what do you do if a voter has two marks on the same line for a particular ballot? Was one mark a stray mark of the felt tip pen, or was it indicating the intention to vote in a particular way? Think about Aunt Sally with the shaky hand of hers. Rather than simply cast out the entire ballot, a bipartisan group of officials objectively considered each and every ballot and had to make a decision. As many commentators say, this was truly democracy at work. We are now in another season in the church, and no, I don't mean Christmas shopping season. Our liturgical season on the church calendar has come to a close with Christ the King Sunday. Next Sunday is also not the beginning of Christmas shopping season, but the beginning of Advent, the first Sunday in a new liturgical year. And by the way, I believe the beginning of Christmas shopping season was the day after the fireworks stopped. So, this last Sunday of the church year recognizes that in the last day, Jesus reigns as king over the kingdom of God that has come to fulfillment. The notion of the king and his kingdom go way back to the, you know, we can look back to the kings of Judah and Israel, to the times of Saul, and moreover David and Solomon. The idea was that sacred anointed kings would serve God first, thereby striving to serve God's people as well as God's will, and then serving themselves last. It never, ever worked out that way. The divine plan of reuniting heaven and earth would never occur this way. And as the kings proved themselves to govern in varying degrees of corruption and injustice and unfaithfulness, massive empires swallowed the tiny kingdoms. And as God's people looked out at their future from under the thumb of great foreign powers like Assyria, Persia, Greece, and eventually Rome, and as well as Babylon, they lost any genuine vision of hope that they could become masters of their own destiny through any actions of their own. They began to seek God as the only one who could deliver them from their servility and foreign oppression. And the prophets became the voices of hope and faith in God, who would make things right and bring God's people to their promised fulfillment as God's own kingdom would be brought into existence. The latest prophet in this line was Daniel. And while his accounts are set in the courts of the Babylonian Empire, in fact, Daniel was written during the Greek Hellenistic era, only 150 years before Jesus. Yet some of the ideas that are presented in Daniel, like God's bringing about a new heaven and a new earth were evident in basic form in 2 Isaiah, which was about 550 years before Jesus. So this has been going on for a long, long time. Today's selection from Daniel, we discussed this recently, actually, a couple months ago, maybe familiar. We have this vision of Daniel with incredible descriptions, first of God, Ancient of Days, dazzling white on a blazing throne with a river of fire surrounded by many thousands of attendants and ruling over untold millions more. His vision includes the Ancient of Days, which describes a royal court with the true sovereign God presiding as judge. The books are open. Presumably a record of the activity of the four beasts, the mighty, awesome, worldly empires and their grand, ferocious rulers. Daniel portrayed the fourth beast as the most terrifying and powerful, and yet it seems this ghastly fourth beast is slain and cast into the river of fire. Then Daniel describes the one like a son of man. Christians like to think this was Jesus. In fact, this is actually how Jesus titles himself in his cosmic form and implication. Still, we shouldn't backread something into the text that's not intended. Better to see that the tradition and expectation for one like Jesus preceded him. Indeed, this Son of Man is heavenly, from the kingdom of God. He is given the kind of heavenly power and authority that earthly rulers and empires can never possess. He bears complete sovereign power over everything in creation, and his realm is everlasting. He is obviously God's specially chosen regent over all the earth. And in this, listen for that crushing overthrow of the arrogant powers of the world who wrongly believe that they have all the authority and power, acting in any way they feel is to their advantage. And now all the rules have changed, and all the values are overturned. Something entirely new has taken over in Daniel's vision. The worldly powers took that temporary authority granted by God and used it for their own benefit, disregarding God's will and the way of truth in God's kingdom. Daniel's vision shows how the true authority of God straightens it all out. It shows how empty and weak the mighty ones of the world are before the transcendent sovereignty of God and his Son of Man. No empire, no nation, and no ruler exists to suit its own purposes and ambitions. Each one stands and remains only insofar as it advances the will of God and reflects God's kingdom values. But the world and its powers don't see this or don't believe this. They cling to the belief that they are in control and they can have things, all things their way. They have no consideration for the justice, righteousness, and peace of God's kingdom. So now we switch over to the Gospel of John. We see God's true king revealed again as Jesus comes before Pilate. And Jesus understood himself to be both the Son of Man in cosmic revelation and suffering servant in earthly ministry. But neither of these categories are the subject of the interrogation. And this scene too is like a royal court, only here the players are the world's mighty authorities. And this strange one who claims not to be a power of this world. And again, the striking contrast is made between how we regard and value things in this world versus how things stand in truth before the kingdom of God. So watch how the game is played and how the rules change. Jesus messes with it. Pilate's been going back and forth between Jesus and the Jewish leaders who arrested him. These Jewish leaders have brought Jesus to Pilate on the because the Romans are the only ones who have the authority to conduct executions. But Pilate doesn't know what to do with the demands that are being made by the Jewish leaders, or what to make of this strange man who's caused such a disturbance. I mean, what is all the fuss about, Pilate wonders. The Jewish leaders are making no clear charges against Jesus that Pilate can fathom. Since they want him executed, Jesus must pose quite a threat to their power and authority. So Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus' reply could really be translated, "Do you know what you're saying when you use that loaded expression?" And Pilate admits he doesn't know really what's so special about this title, King of the Jews. Doesn't really mean anything. Pilate isn't interested either, quite frankly. He wants the simple fact. What did Jesus do that brought on all of this? And as is common in John's Gospel, Jesus ignores the immediate question and replies to the question that should have been asked. This tactic certainly keeps the questioner off guard. Our translation says Jesus talks about his kingdom. A better translation in this context would actually have him describing his kingship. So he says, "My kingship is not of this world." A worldly king would use force to defend his kingship, but his servants would fight violently for their king. But Jesus is no such king, as events have already shown. Indeed, Jesus' kingship has nothing to do with the political posturing going on between the Jewish leaders and the Roman procurator Pilate. His kingship transcends such petty foolishness and stands alone, unrivaled, and indifferent to their silly intrigues. They literally mean nothing to him. "Aha," says Pilate, "then you are a king." And Jesus knows that Pilate still doesn't get it. Pilate is still thinking in worldly terms and remains utterly clueless about the heavenly, transcendent nature of Jesus' kingship authority as Son of Man. So Jesus brings forward the subject of truth and reveals himself as a witness to the truth and claims that those who know the truth listen to him. Pilate's completely lost. Truth is not a subject that has any meaning for him. I mean, in his world, as in ours. Truth comes in many different shades and shapes and forms and formulas, so it ends up being a meaningless notion. Of course, Pilate is still thinking in worldly terms, so indeed there is nothing in the world that can profess to bear the complete truth. But people who know the truth in God can see that truth in Jesus and hear that truth in his words. The irony, of course, is that for Pilate, the truth is standing directly in front of him. If only he would see the truth. The King of Truth, regent of the kingdom of God, confronts him, but Pilate walks away, wrapped in the mantle of his worldly authority and beholden to all of its false truths. Because to behold the truth ourselves, we must behold the King who ascends to his rightful place in the heavenly kingdom, anointed ruler of all creation, having all authority, power, and dominion given unto him. So we started off, long ago, talking about voting, and while this is truly the hallmark of how a democracy chooses its leaders, and the preferred way for our world to work, it seems like some folks want to vote for the kind of Jesus that they prefer. For instance, folks may like his promise of new life, but they aren't too thrilled with all his welcoming and embracing the outcast. They may like his ability to heal, but his obvious preference for the poor rubs the wrong way. They might like the terrific job he does in casting out demons, but they cringe at the way he rejects authority and dismisses all the law and order types. By the time they've voted for all the Jesus positions that agree with theirs, they don't have Jesus any longer. Instead, they have an idol who agrees with them and never makes any real demands from them, while still promising to fulfill their desires and expectations. No, Jesus is the Son of Man, the sovereign Lord of the kingdom. He is a complete package meant to challenge and to transform us into faithfulness to his way of acting and believing and to his message of new life for all. In this case, no, your vote doesn't count. And it doesn't matter. Jesus is Lord and Savior, King for the kingdom of God. He is God's presence in the world, bringing good news of his new way to live in the world as heirs to the kingdom. His way stands as the only way the world will ever know true peace, genuine justice, and realize the promise of life. May we seek his sacred way and find our blessing in him always. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, the King, you are among us as the King, caring for the lost, embracing the outcast, welcoming the troubled and the oppressed. Teach us our God-likeness, so that we might be clear witnesses to the world of your love, your grace, and your blessing. Humble us when arrogance, indifference, and hostility pull us away from the promise of your kingdom. Let your Spirit teach us the justice and peace of the kingdom, and lead us always toward your throne, O Christ our King. Amen.